Morning. In just a few moments, we're going to share together in taking the Lord's Supper. And before we do that, I have a couple questions I'd like to put out to you this morning. One I'm just going to have you think on, and the other one we're going to look at together as a group. The first being, how do we observe the Lord's Supper? And the second one being, how should we observe the Lord's Supper? So a big difference there. As you consider how we should consider the Lord's Supper or observe it, I'm sure there's many answers that start to pop up into your head, multiple methods. I'm going to focus on three this morning. And as I look at this, it's going to come from a personal standpoint that I have, where I often ask myself this question. And what I do is I ask myself this question so that way I can step back and make sure that the Lord's Supper doesn't lose value, doesn't lose meaning for myself. It keeps it from becoming just another task that has to be completed, because as we know, it's so much more than that. Personally, I start each morning by waking up, and I have a task list I make for myself. I list out everything I want to accomplish for the day, schedules, timelines. I love doing that. I love to just start getting after it and have that feeling of being accomplished and getting things done, feeling effective and efficient. You know, the problem, though, when we take that approach towards the Lord's Supper is that you know, I tend not to think about it the way I should. I tend not to give it the value that it deserves. And I would, you know, reason to guess that maybe some of you have had similar experiences or felt that way before. You know, we get busy, and we often find ourselves thinking beyond the moment that we're in. Well, let me tell you, Jesus gets busy too. And we're going to read out of Luke 22 with the Passover feast and the Lord's Supper there. But if we look at the chapters before that, that lead up to that moment, let me turn over there. We just look at, you know, starting in Luke 19, 28 with the triumphal entry, we see that Jesus starts driving people out, driving sellers out of the temples. He's teaching consistently, constantly. He's having to deal with scribes, with chief priests coming at him. He's having to answer the Sadducees, questions about resurrections. 21 verses 37 through 38 reads, "And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mountain called Olivet, and early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him." Jesus was working, and he was staying busy as well. But when it comes time for the Passover, and when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, he makes that important to him, and he communicates that too. So the first thought I have as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper is that this is something we do and observe together. So as we see, Jesus is going to introduce this Lord's Supper during the Passover feast, and he made sure to give very specific instructions prior to them gathering together. If we read Luke 22, verses 7 through 14, it reads, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' They said to him, 'Where will you have us prepare it?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you've entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him." So, you know, it was very important to him that this be something that they do together, that they be together when this happens. Jesus found the time where he's giving himself daily. He's working daily, but he found the time to be together, to be with his disciples in this moment. And, you know, it's not, it could very easily have been like, okay, here's your bread, here's your juice. Everyone at noon, stop what you're doing. But no, it's not that. It's they came together, and it was important to him. And here we are together now, a time for us to be together and to remember. And, you know, this is how he wanted it. This is how he envisioned it originally. So as we consider the value from us remembering together, just know that it's more than just us sitting together. It goes a lot deeper than that. And but this is how it starts. It starts by us physically being together here. The second area, the second point that we observe is that we observe with focus. So as I imagine, as the night's going on, whether they're sitting in silence with their own thoughts or whether they're talking amongst each other, at some point Jesus brings their attention into what he's about to tell them, and he wants them to focus on what he's going to say. So if we continue with our reading, starting in picking up in 14 again, down to 21, it says, "When the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.' And then he says, 'But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table.'" So my fear is sometimes that with myself, things become too routine. And when that happens, they lose meaning. Or the item itself doesn't lose meaning, but I lose sight of that meaning. A personal example, I've been assigned a task list or a checklist at my work by my boss, which has nothing to do with my job function, and I'm very good at filling out that checklist, and I can fill it out very quickly, but the meaning is now lost because it's just another task. And so that's what I'm trying to avoid when it comes time to observe and reflect on the Lord's Supper. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we see that the chapter 11, 23 through 26, this is repeated there, where he writes in his letter, "For I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance from me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You know, it's repeated because it's important. It carries importance, and it's worth saying again. And so maybe this is your first time today taking the Lord's Supper. Maybe this is your 2,000th time. But you know, it doesn't change. The Lord's Supper doesn't change, and the meaning that's associated with it doesn't change. The only thing that changes, whether it's here or there, then and now, is our focus and how we look at it and how we approach it. So our focus has to stay on point as we go to observe. Okay, and the last point that I like to focus on is the element of self-examination that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 there. And it complements focus. And they could probably be even talked about together under the same heading. But the focus before had been on the elements and on their meaning. But now, as we prepare to take, the self-examination becomes personal on that personal level. And it can't be on others, but we look at ourselves. If we read chapter 11, 27 through 29, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So Paul had an issue earlier, or in the letter, that he needed to address, and so he takes the time to remind them that they need to fix this, and that the self-examination is the key to doing it, to looking at themselves individually. So I would ask then that you be honest with yourself as you prepare to take the Lord's Supper. You know, don't find yourself guilty of taking it in an unworthy manner. Would there be an issue that you need to address? You know, I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for myself, but everyone's going to have to take the time to look inward as we prepare here. So just be honest. Well, brothers and sisters, that's pretty much it. Three simple observations I wanted to look at this morning for us to focus on how we should observe the Lord's Supper. The first being together, the second being with focus, and the third one being that we have self-examination throughout, or as we start. You know, they exist together. The experience, the observance, it's not the same without all three of them. It's very different if you leave parts out. You know, you've made it a priority to be here together this morning. So let's share together. You know, this is not just a taking of bread or juice. This is a representation of our Lord's body and his blood. So let's stay focused on that as we share together. And then consider the manner in which you take or are about to take. You know, examine yourself. Be honest with yourself. And brothers and sisters, let's now come together as we remember our Lord Jesus.